The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2pm with Dave Kellner, John Budden and Sean Quinn in the studio. It's Wolverhampton, Taunton and Ludlow on Thursday afternoon. We'll also squeeze in a bit of the Twilight card from Clonmel as well. So do tune in for all of that. Right now, though, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Very good afternoon to you, Mark. Yeah, I'm in fantastic form. And looking forward to the Easter period.
Yes, good racing coming up. We've got Aintree coming up pretty soon as well.
Oh, let's not talk about that so far ahead. Oh, blimey, mate. We're about just over a week away, aren't we? And already we're getting giddy. I've just been speaking to our very own in-house Mr. Grand National, The Wiz,
yeah,
Darren Owen, who is bitterly disappointed that there are not as many Aintree preview nights as there are Cheltenham. And when I said it's possibly because it doesn't have the same ego and the same kudos as Cheltenham.
Did he go down like a lead balloon?
He fell over.
Right. I think that's harsh on Aintree a little bit now. I know it's all focused around Cheltenham, but the 3 days at Aintree are fantastic racing, aren't they?
Stunning racing, fantastic racing, usually on different ground, much different track, and a much different clientele there as well. That's the other thing, you know. You don't don your tweeds and your flat cap at Aintree, you know what I mean? No. You get your stilettos out and, you know, you get your fancy frock on.
Yeah. Are you doing that this year? You putting your fancy frock on at Aintree?
Well, I've got the stilettos out and polished, so it's just finding a frock that suits.
Okay, good. Just looking through the paper today, I mean, Nicky Henderson's got quite a strong team going there, hasn't he?
Good team, yeah. I mean, I suppose he had a disappointing festival, didn't he? So yeah. He's more likely looking to go to Aintree and pick up the pieces slightly. No stable jockey in the shape of Barry Garrity. And reading the article, hopefully, that he's going to give the rest of the team a few opportunities. They proved themselves able at the festival, De Bonville, Bass and Tinkler. So hopefully they can get the leg up on some of these nice horses again. And again, you know, they can't get to the top of the tree without giving the opportunities. Now, here is a golden opportunity for these three lads to continue the good season that they're having and to keep themselves firmly in the limelight.
Mm. Yeah, fair enough. Daryl Jacob will be on Marfilera as well, who's stepping up in trip for the Aintree Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, again, obviously, Daryl Jacob's got a connection with the owners of that horse. But again, he's been riding really well this season. He seems to have his confidence back. He's riding high. And again, certainly a feel will lack nothing in the saddle with Jacob on board, that's for sure.
Mm. While we're on the subject of Aintree, Gooniella, they're trying to get Gooniella into the race. Obviously, a lot of them have to come out. But we'll look at the big race itself, the Grand National. Shut the front door, 7-1 at the top of the market, Pimmy. Rocky Creek, 10s, 12s for Balthazar King. The Druid's Nephew, 14-1. Alvarado, 20s, Cause of Causes. And Godsmy Judge and Sol and Springheeled, all 20s as well. And 25-1 are bigger prices for the others.
Crackers. Crackers, 7-1, shut the front door. Not for me. Statistically, he can't win, and it's the old McCoy factor, isn't it, basically? I mean, fairy tale would be fantastic, wouldn't it?
It would be
you know what I mean?
Remarkable,
if Rudyard Kipling was writing this, or Dick Francis or something, it might happen. I don't know who Rudyard Kipling is, actually, but it sounded good. But yeah, it would be a stunning story, and the roof at Aintree would be lifted, but I can't see that happening. It's too much of a fairy tale. And as I say, statistically, things are against him. So take him on, guys. Take him on. Don't be like the sheep. Don't follow in. Stand your ground. Make a stance.
Yeah. I hope you're wrong, Pimmy, because I would love to see it. But obviously, I know what you're saying. It's unlikely.
Oh, dear. You're in your dream world again, aren't you?
I am.
You know what I mean?
You've got to have these, you know, dreams going on, Pimmy. Yeah,
but they also got to have reality. you know.
You can be the reality check to
Okay, I'll be reality. Yeah. You can be the dreamer. Right. Fine. But it would be fantastic, but it won't happen.
Okay.
Now, you've got that quoted, that, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, keep this little bit of tape just in case.
I'm going to cut it out, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be played on the show afterwards.
That's right.
Yeah.
And this is one of our pundits thought. Fool.
While we're on the subject of jockeys, Joseph O'Brien, do you think he'll ride on the flat again?
Going to struggle, isn't he? Going to struggle. I mean, we knew he struggled last year.
Yeah.
Mother Nature's obviously taking its course with him now. He's a big lad. He's a big, tall boy. He's quite a broad lad. And he's obviously, you know, had to work really hard with his weight in the past. Listen, he knew when the start of the season was coming. So if he was going to do the weights, he'd be going to be doing it now, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
He's not going to be late waiting for another 2 or 3 weeks when the Craven meeting kicks in and stuff like that. So I'll be very surprised. What I would have liked to have seen, actually, was the saddle he had when he rode over hurdles the other day. Because that would have given us some indication just how heavy he was. I think he had 11.3 to carry.
Yeah.
So we could have judged his body weight if we could have seen the saddle. So that would have been an interesting one. If we could have seen the size of that saddle, it would have given us some idea exactly what weight he is to know whether it's going to happen on the flat for him. But I don't think it'll happen. I don't say he won't ride on the flat. I think at 9, 10 and 10 stoners, if they are about there for him in the handicaps, not that really Aidan O'Brien has handicappers, does he? So,
yeah,
you know, that might not happen. And by the same token, is the jumps going to be really for that fella?
I think he sounds quite keen to do it, doesn't he?
When you've ridden all those top-class horses and then you're going around Down Royal on a wet January afternoon for a couple of thousand euros, I'm not so sure that would work for me.
Mm.
Now, whether it worked for him, he's young, he's vibrant and he's up for it, but completely different ball game.
His plan has always been to go riding over jumps, wasn't it? He's always said he would. So.
Yeah, he's always thought that. I mean, he's still only young. He's only, what, 22, 20, is he?
21, I think. Oh, yeah. Maybe 22, yeah.
So, you know, he's plenty of time, but does he really need it?
Well, I suppose not, yeah.
No.
No.
But we'll see. We'll see. But it's not going to happen for him on the fly, I don't think.
All right. Anything else caught your eye in the news, Pimmy?
Not really, no. I think everything's pretty quiet on the Western Front, really. I just was interested, and there's obviously a different take on this, but the horse that got beat last year, 20-1 on...
last week.
Yeah. I thought that was good, believe it or not, because I think there's two things. A, it shows there's no certainty in racing, and B, it also shows that the other guys that were racing against that 20-1 shot didn't think, we can't beat this, so let's not go and try and beat it. They went out to beat it, and that's what one of them did.
Mm.
So, for me, that was a positive rather than a negative.
Yeah, positive as long as you haven't backed the 20-1 shot, isn't it? So,
yeah, but if you have backed the 20-1 shot on the shot, it doesn't matter because you could have backed a 10-1 shot and it gets beat. What I'm saying is, it was there, it looked a good thing, but there's no such thing.
No such thing as a racing certainty, as they say.
Correct.
That's the old phrase, isn't it?
Yeah.
And
that proves it, doesn't it?
It does. It does. It gives us all hope, Pimmy.
It does indeed. It does indeed. Yeah. And we'll continue with hope in our minds when we come to these four races for the podcast.
Yeah, the podcast. We'll get those four races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, as is now the way on the racing podcast, we've got four races coming up. Pimmy's got...
There you go. William Hill, just squeezing every last ounce out of me. Not three races, but four races.
Yeah. You're so good, Pimmy, we're just trying to get, you know, trying to get a bit more, aren't you?
I think I might take you to task on that one. But there we go.
We've got racing from Wolverhampton, Ludlow and Taunton, and Pimmy's got some bets for us at each of the meetings, starting in the 240 at Wolverhampton, which is a Class 4 fillies handicap over a mile and one furlong. It's for three-year-olds, and it's a hot race, Pimmy. Wow. There's four of these that won on debut. We've got another couple of these coming into this in winning form as well. What do you make of it?
Absolutely fantastic race to get the podcast underway. Very difficult. You've got, like you say, the four winners on the debuts. And again, we don't know how much they'll have progressed in that interim period since making the debuts. But for me, Loaves and Fishes stands out. 187 days since we last saw her. She made a very, very encouraging debut at Haydock Park. And she finished that race as if there was a lot more to come. So she'd be a confident selection in that 240 at Wolves. Loaves and Fishes.
And it would be relevant this time of year as well, wouldn't it, Pimmy?
Right, it would indeed. The season of religion and of eggs.
Yes, of course. Loves and fishes them for Pimmy in the 2:40. The 3 o'clock at Ludlow is where we go next. This is a Class 3 handicap chase over 3 miles. We've got 7 of them in the lineup for this one, Pimmy. And a good skin's been knocking on the door. Will it open today?
Well, hopefully it will for him, because he has been knocking on the door. And I don't really think there's been any excuses as far as he's been shirking the "if you're not putting his best foot forward." I thought it was a really good run at Newbury last time out when he was 2.5 lengths behind Bandit Country. And again, he definitely comes here with a big, big chance.
Yeah, it was an inspired ride by McCoy as well, wasn't it, on Bandit Country that,
yeah,
that,
exactly,
that got that one home. So
on the day, you're more than likely, if you'd backed a good skin, it was the day you didn't want McCoy at one of his brilliant best, but yeah. That was the case on that occasion.
Okay, so what are you most worried about in there?
The one I'd be most worried about is the horse that won last time out, Loose Chips. He won a amateur riders race at Sandown Park when he beat Merrion Square just by a neck. I think, if my memory serves me right, that was one of those grand military races. So whether you can think the form is strong or not remains to be seen, but he did get his head in front, and again, he'd run really well in defeat previous to that. So two horses that are coming into the race on the back of good runs. I'm just going to edge it with the Tom George runner, a good skin.
Okay. The 3:50 at Taunton is a Class 3 handicap hurdle over the extended 2 miles and 3 furlongs. We've got 7 in the lineup for this one, and a couple of them in decent enough nick in the shape of Earth Moves, who has a penalty to defy after winning last time. You've got Dragon's Den, who's also in winning form, Pimmy.
Yeah, you have. Very competitive handicap hurdle, I thought. Dragon's Den did it nicely last time out when he won at Taunton over 2 mile 3. And it was an easy success by 15 lengths. Again, he had not been showing a great deal prior to that, but the down yard's been in fantastic form of late, and certainly he bounced back to some good form there. Marju's Quest slightly disappointed last time out. Having been in really good form throughout the season, but again, possibly the handicapper getting the measure of that one. And obviously the other Nichols runner is Earth Moves, who was a very comfortable winner of a novice's hurdle at Newton Abbott over tomorrow's trip of 2 mile 3. And again, he takes his chance with a £7 penalty. More than likely, the handicapper is going to put him up more than that. So they've come to the well fairly quickly with Earth Moves. I thought that was a good performance. And with his confidence buoyed by that success, there could be more to come.
Okay, the final race we look at is the 4 o'clock at Ludlow, which is a Class 3 handicap chase over 2.5 miles. It's for the Oakley Park Challenge Cup. 7 of them go to post for this one. And I suppose we should start here with Wilton Milan, Pimmy, who's gone close on a couple of occasions in better races than this.
Yeah, has indeed. 2 mile 6 race last time, 2 miles 4, so a little dropping trip for him tomorrow. Slightly disappointing, I thought, when he got beat to odds on last time out at Fontwell, but again, prior to that, he's been running really well. Jack Sherwood takes a valuable 5 off his back. And again, he's certainly going to be a player, Wilton Milan. But I also thought that Lucky Landing's been running well in defeat for the Tony Coyle yard. He makes that long journey to Ludlow from Malton, so I don't think he's doing that for the good of his health. And he has an eye-catching jockey booking of Dennis O'Regan. So I think he could be an interesting one at more than likely a bit bigger price.
Okay, good stuff. Let's have a quick summary, Pimmy, if you'll spin us through your selections for Thursday one more time.
Yeah, well, we start on the flat at Wolverhampton in what looks a very competitive fillies handicap, but I'm going to take a chance with the Clive Clox runner, Loaves and Fishes, and then we head to Ludlow for their 3 o'clock, where we're going to take a chance with the Tom George trained A Good Skin. Down to Taunton then for the 3:50, where we're going to take a chance with the Paul Nichols runner, Earth Moves. And finally, back to Ludlow for their 4 o'clock race. I'm going to take a chance with the Malton-trained Lucky Landing.
Fantastic. Good work, Pimmy. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy on Thursday.
Look forward to it.
So there you go, the thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 2 p.m. with Dave Kellner, John Budden and Sean Quinn in the studio, where we've got Wolverhampton, Taunton and Ludlow, and a bit of action from Ireland in Clonmel as well. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.